kayak anglers of the internet. Welcome back to another episode of Advanced Kayak Angler. I guess I'm just going to keep saying that because it's weird.
Why not, man? Why,
I don't
why
know not? Where that came from. What's up, dude? Yak Attack.
Yak Attack, man. Yep.
Yeah. I was looking. I was on their site today, actually, looking at some stuff. I actually just saw. I got the email because I guess I'm, you know, they want to make sure I know. They sent me an email saying Newport has come out with a new motor, the 24 volt. It's the NK180 Pro.
What is that? I just recently saw something. I don't even know what it, what is that.
What's it's supposed that mean? To be. It's $1,000, which. I guess if you're just getting into it, isn't that the same price as the 300? I don't know. But it's supposed to be 25% quieter. And I don't know, 25% seems pretty specific. 25% better range. So I guess it's more efficient. And 16% faster. So if you're hovering at 5, you might could, like, you know, 5. Hit it 3? To 6. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess every little bit helps, you know. It can't hurt.
Well, I mean, I like to see innovation happening in the kayak world, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Every little
bit. I know.
Especially on like tournament fishing stuff, man.
Yeah. I have one of the old ones where there's a sleeve. I think I got one of the janky ones where it's like the sleeve, like you try to put it on the mount and it's such a bitch. Like, I know I'm not the only one. I know they fixed it with the 300, but I've got the old one where you get this little, it's like you've got like the bolt that the two connectors on, you know, like the tab. How, dude, I'm not going to try to explain.
Like the quick release. It's like a quick release, yeah. For a bicycle almost, right?
Yeah. And yeah. On the inside, there's a sleeve that goes inside the mount, but you can't put it onto that bolt. You can't put it onto the mount if that sleeve is sticking out of the mount. I hate that thing. But I heard they fixed on the new one, so it might be worth getting a pro just not having to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, just for that, right?
Yeah, seriously. But all right. But tonight we've got two guys on coming on to talk about some finesse fishing. We've got Bennett Nall and Jason Ray. What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going, guys?
We haven't had y'all on before, so we'll go ahead and tell everybody where you are. Bennett, we'll start with you. And I guess how you got into kayak fishing and what kind of kayak you're in, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm in Anderson, South Carolina. Lake Hartwell is my home lake. I probably started kayak fishing 5 years ago when I was 15, when I just kind of got my learner's permit and I could finally drive myself. I just wanted to get out there and fish and do something other than just ponds, and a kayak was a cheap way to get out there. I've been tournament fishing for 3 years and it's been an absolute blast.
You got big checks and plaques behind you. Can't be going too bad.
Yeah, no, it's going pretty good. I'm blessed to say the least.
Absolutely. Kicking ass, man. I love it.
Yeah. Jason, how about you, man?
I am from Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I started back in 2016. I used to fish ponds all the time, just like Bennett. And then I wanted to go into the boats, and then I decided kayak was a little bit cheaper. Yeah. And yeah. I started with that. Started with a Heritage kayak from Academy. Nice. Went to one tournament and figured out that's not going to cut it. Everybody else is in Hobies and I'm over there in a Heritage. I think I got fourth place in that first tournament though. So it got me hooked. Oh. And I found a guy that had a used Hobie, and I've had that one ever since. So it's old, and I've had one issue here recently, but other than that, I haven't had any issues. But,
and you fish Oklahoma Kayak Anglers?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on the board as well.
When did you get that Hobie?
In 2016. Yeah.
Wow. You've had that for a little while then. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't. I mean, I'm telling you, I've never had a single issue until I just fished the Bassmaster Championship. And the first cast, I caught an 18. And then I went to measure it and I felt wobbly on my kayak. And I looked back and the whole back end of my kayak was underwater. I had taken on water. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
I had a hole in the front of my kayak.
Oh, just from rubbing?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I had to stay by the ramp, and every 20 minutes I had to go up there and dump it. Yeah, you talk about frustrating, man. It was beyond frustrating. And, you know, in practice, I had a couple of really good days. And so I knew the area that I wanted to go to, but I couldn't get to it. I could see it, but I couldn't get to it. By the time I got there, it was time to dump. And I went back to the ramp, you know, and I thought about just going home because I was about 3 hours away. I called my buddy, Luke Arian, and my wife, and they were both like, hey, you're going to be real upset with yourself if you don't go back tomorrow. And so we went back, we put epoxy on it, and then the next day I put up 92 inches.
Dang. Heck yeah.
So I got to my spot, put up 92, and ended up 18th. I was right out of the money.
Way to tough it out, though, man. Way to tough it out.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, mentally, it was probably the hardest I've ever
had. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Something like that will take you so out of your game. It's it's tough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's been fun, though, fishing with Oklahoma. When we started, whenever I got on the board, you know, we were averaging 25, 30 anglers per event. And now we're close to 100 per.
Right so, on.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a really big group of people.
Yeah. I know back on, I had one of the tournament directors on the old Paddle and Fin show I was on, where we had talked to somebody from Oklahoma, from your club. And it sounded like one of the, you know, one of the better clubs in the country for sure. So.
Yeah, it's really good group of guys and girls. I mean, they show up almost every time.
And Bennett's lucky too. You're over there with you can drive up to Queen City, huh?
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I don't have to travel to find big payouts. I mean, I've got payouts, like really good payouts just in my backyard. I mean, the furthest I've traveled before 10 killer was like 3 hours for a tournament. And that was like super far for me. So,
wow.
Queen City.
Yeah, Hartwell, people come to you, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I like it when they come to me because I've got a good record on Hartwell. So,
yeah.
Hartwell's a fun lake.
Trying to convince my wife really to move to Gunnersville.
To Gunnersville. Yeah. But I want to fish that area, like Tennessee, like those, some of them lakes, Alabama stuff. And it's just like, I'm determined to do it next year, maybe. That's where I'm at. Like,
it's fun, you know, like anywhere else it can be tough, but it's one of those places you can win anywhere. You know, it's not like you have to have a secret spot. You can just go anywhere and win it. So,
yeah, gotcha.
All right. So Kurt, where do we start with finesse fishing? I don't even know. It's such a big topic.
A big fish there.
Did you say me?
Oh no. Kurt, where should we start with finesse fishing, man?
Oh, where should we start with finesse fishing? Man, that's kind of a hard thing to start with, man. So why don't we hear from you guys what you guys feel finesse fishing is? Like kind of like the heart of what you guys do and kind of tell us like the baits, like maybe your top couple favorite baits that you feel like are the most finesse-y baits. Your own little spin on setups, because I'm kind of a finesse guy too, I feel like.
Yeah, me too.
And I know there's certain, how should I say this? There's certain techniques that I put my spin on to, like I rig them a little differently. Let's hear your guys' setups, man. Bennett, you want to start?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm happy.
For Jason, it doesn't matter to me.
No, it's good. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm happy you mentioned, like, to define what finesse fishing is to you, because to me, finesse fishing isn't necessarily just like dragging a shaky head or like throwing a drop shot. I think like true finesse fishing is, I mean, it can have to do with a small presentation, but I think it's more finding an action or a bait that they haven't seen before. I mean, a Ned rig is finesse fishing. But, I mean, we're getting to the point where those fish have seen a million different Ned rigs because everyone's, quote-unquote, finesse fishing. So when I finesse fish, I'm more – it's not always dragging a Ned rig or a shaky head. I'll throw a Nico rig or something and, like, try and weight it differently, kind of like you mentioned, to get a different fall, see if it'll spiral in a different way that that some people haven't gotten. But I also like finding like some of the Japanese like hard baits and stuff that just the fish locally don't see and aren't used to seeing. That to me, that's more finesse fish. Finesse fishing is finding something they haven't seen before with a different action. It oftentimes is a smaller bait, but it's not just a small bait that makes it finesse fishing to me.
Gotcha.
So,
yeah,
for me, the man is wise beyond his years.
For me, finesse fishing is about, for me, it's about speed, really. I fish, I mean, so slow, you would be bored out of your mind. I can pull out Netflix and watch Netflix while I'm fishing. I'll let it soak. I will throw out a Ned rig and I will not move it for 2 or 3, 4 minutes. And a lot of times, wow. So I learned that by my first year of kayak fishing, I had some cheap bait casters and I would get a bird's nest and I would be sitting there messing with it, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And then I would get it out and reel in. I have a fish on the line. And I instantly thought, hey, I'm just going to do this with a Ned rig, throw it out there and see what happens. And it has worked really, really well. Just a black Ned rig, just 1/10 tungsten, just throw it out there and let it sit. And I do that.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Jake.
Yeah.
It's really interesting that you say that because I take a similar approach sometimes. It's situational for me. But, you know, those floating baits for me, I feel like you can let them sit, especially the floating baits. I shouldn't say only the floating baits, but especially the floating baits. You can just let them sit for very long periods of time because they kind of have their own action with the current. They'll be very subtle. They'll kind of float and wobble a little bit. And I discovered it the exact same way you just said it when I first started fishing as I bird nested. And I was like, is that the pattern? And it clicked one day and that was the pattern. I just threw it out and just let it sit. Mm-hmm. And I would just lift up on it. And if it had weight, there'd be a fish there. So it's really interesting to hear how you and I both discovered it the same way. It's really cool.
You know, I heard some guy say the other day that he thought it sounds stupid, but I kind of think he might be right. He thinks that they're eating Ned rigs because it looks like duck and goose poop. And that's an easy protein for the bass. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because it, you know, it kind of, if you just leave it in there at the bottom, like it'll just, you know, it just look like a turd. Just, I mean, it is a TRD. So,
yeah. I've said it a bunch of times. Like, I think the Ned rig honed in on a different bite. You have like reaction strikes, feed and bites, but that's like the Dorito bite where you know, like if I give you if I put a Dorito in your face, it's like, I'm not hungry. I don't want a Dorito, but it's so unassuming. It's like, okay, I'll have a Dorito, you know, why not? Yeah. You know, it's not feeding. It's not defense really. It's not reaction. It's just, why not?
Yeah. I mean, those big bass, they want something easy to eat and they don't have to fight for it. They don't have to chase it. It's just sitting there waiting for them.
Yeah. But don't you think that bass are becoming aware of that? At least on certain lakes, they're becoming aware of the Ned rig and to be wary of it.
I mean, they would have to be by this point, you know, because, I mean, everyone throws one, whether they want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
Maybe because I know there's less stretches in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. In Oklahoma, there's probably not as many that are throwing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Great Lakes, Smallmouth, Oneida, you know, like anywhere northeast, I would think, yeah, they've seen a Ned rig all the time, but Oklahoma, maybe not as much. Which, I mean, y'all have Smallmouth too, so.
Yeah, not as many, though. And we don't have a ton of clear lakes. We have some clean water, but nothing like what y'all are used to, really.
What about you, Kurt? Yeah, you're a big finesse guy.
Yeah, you know, my favorite finesse is using a big TRD. And it's such a specific setup for me to make this work right. So I Texas rig it. Has to be unpegged. It has to be on 17 pound line. It needs to be a little bit stiffer line for it to make it work. It has to be a light wire hook that way that's light enough that it will, that the big TRD can make it float and get a little separation from the weight. It's so specific on how everything plays together, but that's like my setup and that's like my go-to. That's, I mean,
Texas rig.
If you don't see me have that tied on, it's not me. Like literally, anywhere I go in the country, I'll have that set up. It's not quite a TRD, you know, it's not as small as a TRD. I'm not throwing a Ned rig. It's the big TRD. And that specific setup, I think, resembles a mini. So there's a little bit of white and green flashing on each side, you know. So that's kind of my, like, go-to finesse rig. Dan, we're all finesse guys. We got to hear yours now.
Well, mine's, without a doubt, mine's a wacky rig. I mean, I catch literally probably half of my fish on a wacky rig. Like, I got big fish. Somehow, I got big fish in the last event on a wacky rig. Like, I throw a wacky rig all the time. I mean, I have pretty much convinced everyone in my area to throw a wacky rig and a swim jig because that's the two things I throw. It's funny. I'm like either big in the grass braid or I'm like super finesse. I don't throw the middle stuff. I'm just one end or the other. I'm either really trying to get a bite or really trying to get a big one. I just skip the middle. But yeah, wacky rig. Like Nico, I mean, I throw a Nico rig a lot. Super like Okashira. Those are definitely my top three, but wacky rig. Yeah, I actually just bought some of the I'm super excited about this. They're coming tomorrow. That because I usually throw X-Zone baits because no crap, a lot of their stuff floats and the wacky rigs and the True Center stick. If you're looking for like an alternate, this isn't a promotion. I'm on their team, but I don't mean it like that. Like it really is like, I love them as much. They're not a single, you know, they're not Yamamoto, but if you're going one step down, they're on that level of all the other ones and the colors are really good. So I truly believe in that True Center stick, but I got some of the Geekrack ones, the brand new cue ball Geekrack round squid looking things that are like $8.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a dice, except it's three of them. I mean, you get three of them in a pack. And on top of that, I need to order them because I'm really excited about this. Core Tackle, they sell a hook that's a wacky rig hook that screws into it. And then the hook is on the outside. So it's like the perfect hook for that bait. And I'm fishing Smith Lake in like 2 or 3 weeks for like a really big event. And last year, I wish I would have had something like that. So I'm like super excited to get this bait and try it on Smith Lake in the ultra clear water and still catch some like spawning spots. So it's like my dream is coming true here in like 3 weeks. So
it really looks like the ultimate bedding bait, man.
Yeah. It's that bait, because I bought some of the dice after. I'm not trying to go on about the dice and all that, but the like it's really, I've never caught a fish on it, but I know it's going to be perfect because I went to this spot and I ended up winning. Like it was a 2-part event where you had like the local and then you had $100 top up, and I won the top up and got third in the local, and was like in the last 30 minutes I found this spot where they were spawning. It was just like 100 spots, the last ones on the lake spawning, and they were just it was like going to this magical spot, and all the fish were back there, and even a wacky rig would spook them. So to have something like even lighter than that, I'm really excited about that.
What is that supposed to look like, that cube? I mean, what is that supposed to?
Duck poop.
That's got to be something like that.
Yeah,
there we go.
Who knows? A squid?
Back Bennett.
No clue.
Weird. It's strange looking.
But I'm really excited. Like I don't think I've ever been so excited to throw a bait, because I know that's like the perfect application for just like they were just roaming around. Like it was really weird in a spot that boats couldn't get to, but I know that's going to be like, oh, I'm going to wear them out on it this year. I'm excited.
That'll be fun.
I can't wait to hear the report on that.
I'll go back there, and because it's an earlier spring, so I, you know, might be too late. So
I like everything that G-Crack makes, man. I think they just make stuff that's different, and it's very, it's all very finessey. It's very,
it stinks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I've never had any of it. Yeah.
Oh, oh, you haven't had any of it?
No, it comes tomorrow. I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't had any of, like, the Bellow Gills or any of that stuff?
No, I've never bought any.
Oh my God. Well, it does stink. It gets on your hands and your hands stink. You'll wash your hands and they'll still stink. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, it like attaches to that stink, just attaches to it. Yeah. It's nasty.
That's funny. I put on one once and then put a dip in, and it's pretty gross. Yeah. It's pretty gross. Oh
goodness. I almost bought like that that Bellows Shad and the Bellows Gill for the free rig. Because that's a technique, like, I know it works. I've thrown it. I've never caught anything on it. But, like, I get what it does, and I get that it should work. I just haven't done it enough to have the confidence in it.
They both work on the Carolina rig pretty well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's another one that I throw quite a bit.
Carolina rig.
Mm-hmm. Really light, super finessey.
So and Bennett, we'll get to you too here, man. I just want, but since we're on the Carolina rig, I would love to hear like the specifics of how you said really light, right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So I'd like to hear the specifics of your Carolina rig, like from the rod all the way to the bait and everything in between, man.
Yeah, I throw a pretty big rod on it for kayak. I mean, I throw a 7.6. It's a Dobbins, I think it's Champion XP, and it's their Carolina rig rod.
Yeah,
and I throw that, and then I have I always tie a mono leader because, you know, I want it to float. Always tie a mono leader because that's I want it. I don't want it to be sitting on the bottom. I want a little bit, just a little bit off. And then I always,
what's the poundage on that?
Oh, I use 12 pound.
12 pounds, okay.
12. Okay.
Yeah, I can go lighter. I don't really on everything. I don't go much heavier than 12. I've lost a lot of fish too. But
what about baits for it?
Okay, so this is one of those ones that I don't share with a lot of people because it's kind of stupid. It's kind of a stupid bait, really. I just throw a 4-inch Senko a majority of the time on a 3-aught EWG hook, just a really 4-inch Senko, and I just drag it as slow as you can, and they tear it up, really.
So how far are you putting the bait away from your weight?
So that depends on the time of year, water temp. Okay. You know, in the summer, I'll go a lot longer leader. In the winter, I'll go a lot shorter leader. So at the Bassmaster tournament about a week ago, whatever, I was catching one Carolina rig there too, and I was throwing foot to foot and a half leader and just dragging it real slow. And I was throwing a 4-inch Senko in like a shad pattern with like a green and gold pattern on top. And I would just go to a ledge that was, you know, 10 to 12 foot off of a 5-foot flat. And I just throw it over the ledge and bring it back towards me. And they would, just really, really, really slow.
I remember having Damian Towell, who, you know, he did good at the classic thing, having him on the podcast before. And he said he would throw like a 5 or 6 foot leader Carolina rig.
Gosh.
Like, I don't even know how you throw that. It would be like throwing a cast net.
I would kill every fish. They would swallow it. There's no way I would know. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd be gut hooked every single one. I didn't get that, but I'm not, who am I to argue with him? He's better than me.
It seems to work for him.
Yeah.
Bennett, yeah, I don't have much longer than 2 foot. So,
not much longer than 2 foot. Oh, you're good. You're good. I got distracted for a second.
And then I also throw tungsten barrel weight on that as well. Pretty much everything I use is tungsten, just because, you know, I want to be able to feel everything, and I just can't feel anything with lead anymore. My buddy got me hooked on tungsten, and it was like, you know, he's like a drug dealer. As soon as I used it once, I was hooked. And now it's tungsten jigs and everything.
Ooh, that is expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I throw very little lead anymore at all. Very little. Maybe everything's kind of,
Picasso's all. Yeah, you would. You love some Picasso. They're all tungsten, everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you can really feel the bottom, man. You can feel if it's sand or if it's gravel, if it's small gravel, if it's big gravel, you know.
Yeah.
Especially if you got braided lines somewhere in the mix, you know.
Yeah, I'd bet.
No.
I don't have it. The only thing, I have one rod that's braided, and it's for top water.
So your leader is mono. Are you running fluoro for the rest then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it a little different. You know, I throw fluoro on everything besides that mono that's the leader. And then even on top water is the only thing I use braid.
Top water. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh. Bennett, so how do you rig up your finesse stuff? Like you're one of your favorites. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything in particular, but one of your favorites. You got to like do you have one that you set up a particular way?
So I mean, when I'm finesse fishing, it's either like a drop shot or a Nika rig, but I think the Nika rig is my favorite, at least this time of year. And usually it's on a stick bait, like a Yamamoto or something. And I'll almost always use like a 1/16 or like a 3/32 ounce weight, but I'm not a fan of the Nika weights that they sell, the ones where they've got them fat heads that stick out.
Yeah,
I like the long ones. I like to stick it like way up in the bait and then have my hook like right where the end of that weight is in the middle of the worm. And then
wait, man. Now you're getting right up my alley here. So I love hearing like how you're placing the weight in there. If you don't mind slowing down, let's talking about that for just a second. So exactly how far up the worm are you pushing the weight? Because you say you have it right by the hook's coming right by the end of the weight, right?
Yeah.
So you're almost in the middle of the bait?
Yeah. So it's like – so I'll use the 5-inch Senko or stick bait. I mean, I used a bunch of different stick baits, like – but –
So falling like a wacky rig, right?
Well, no. It actually it puts it like kind of off center, and it falls different than just straight down and not horizontal.
It kind of glides.
It glides more that way, and so you get a little bit of a different action with it that way. And so, but a lot of people like it with that weight that's sticking out, and they can kind of, it'll hit the rocks and make noise. I don't want it to make any noise. I don't want it to do anything. I just want the falling effect. So I'll stick it to where it's got like half an inch or so inside the worm, to where there's. I mean, I'll have like a half inch of the worm that's got no weight in it that's sticking out. It's just soft. So because the worm shoved up there so far. And then I use the VMC, I think it's like the crossover rings that they've got. I'll put those on and I lose a lot less of them because whenever you're using them lead weights, it kind of sucks getting your worm thrown off every other fish and having to rig a whole new one up. That way I can catch almost 10 fish on one Nika rig. And a lot of people have different hooks they like to use. I've used some of the VMCs. I've used owners. Owner makes a weedless Nika rig and a weedless wacky rig that's got a wire guard on it. And I really like them for like fishing docks and stuff because those things, like I can't snag those things. And whenever I hook a fish, I usually get them pretty good. But I started using a decoy weedless wacky hook. And I haven't seen anyone else use them, but they've got like 4 soft strands on it. And it's a super light wire hook, and I pretty much never lose fish on it. Like it's my favorite hook for. I mean, everyone's got an opinion, but that decoy hook's super solid.
Well, I gotta look that up now.
Yeah,
man, you got me thinking about it.
Yeah, because I use that VMC one for both wacky and Nico rig.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're worth giving a shot.
Well, yeah, man, where do you even hear about that?
Spend enough time browsing Tackle Warehouse and whatnot. You just do a fun stuff, you know?
Is this something you figured out yourself? Like you were just like, hey, that hook looks killer. I think it'll work. And you kind of put it together yourself.
I can't remember if that's one of the ones that I was scrolling through Tackle Warehouse or it's one that I saw somebody post somewhere. I genuinely can't remember. But I've also gone through like 10 different kind of wacky hooks from a bunch of different companies before
The weedless, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they make like a heavy duty one for like if you want to throw like a 7-inch Senko or something that's got like a heavy duty flipping wacky hook. But they make a light wire one that's really that's smart. So
yeah, I'm a big fan of the light wire hooks.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
I have not even heard of that one. I love that.
Yep. Go ahead and add it.
The 108 Bodyguard HD Weedless Wacky Hook.
Now, that one might be the heavy duty. I think the HD is the heavy duty one. I think there might be another one that's not an HD.
I kind of like that O'Shaughnessy style bend though.
No, you had the right one. I'll take it back. They've got one that's called a heavy duty. That's different. Yeah, you had the right one. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That I like the bend to that hook.
Yep. That's a solid hook.
It's a 5-pack for $5. That's really not a.
They're slept on, dude. Like they are really slept on.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, man. Cool. Now what kind of weight line do you use with that?
Usually it'll be 12-pound. Like I like it's kind of an in between. Like you can get away with heavier, you can get away with lighter, but 12-pound, like I mean, I'll flip this into way up under docks with big posts and stuff. And I mean I can get away with heavier. But I also fish a lot of clear water, so that 12-pound I feel like is like I haven't had an issue with getting snagged and breaking off or anything with that 12-pound yet, and I can still horse them a little bit with the 12-pound. So I haven't had a need to go heavier than that yet.
Gives you a chance too if you get wrapped up for a second on something. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I find interesting right now talking to you guys because you guys are the people that were known as like the most finesse guys out there. Is that we're not talking about 6-pound line.
No.
We're not talking about 4-pound line. We're not talking about 8-pound line. We're not even talking about 10-pound line hardly. We're talking about everybody's saying 12-pound, which I find really interesting because, you know, I consider myself a finesse guy, but I rarely go below 17-pound line. It's like 17 or 12.
All mine are, I throw all 8.
So my Ned is an 8.
Yeah, I'm the
one. Ned's an 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because making that post on Facebook, we usually post on Facebook, see kind of who are the consensus, some of the best anglers for a certain technique or style or whatever. And it's like, I was surprised, like more people weren't, hey, I throw 6, I throw, you know, because yeah. I guess you kind of think these other guys have a secret. They're throwing that smaller line. They're throwing this or some kind. I mean, you do, Bennett, you do have an awesome hook there. But I mean, you know, like people aren't, I mean, I say that and then you are putting your weight in a crazy place and you're using a different hook. I mean, you are doing something different, but I mean, there's not like people don't have all these finesse secrets like you'd think they would, you know, like 6-pound guys. There's just not a lot of those.
Yeah, I think that touches on what I tried to say in the beginning is that, like, it's not finesse fishing is more of finding a different action or a different way to present a bait more than it is just a small bait. It's not just, I mean, like, you can, I mean, it's still finesse fishing, throwing a Ned rig on 6-pound test and all that. It's still finesse fishing. I just think, like, it's really about finding something different or making your bait fall or present itself a different way that the fish haven't seen.
Man, you are so right because like my setup when I described for the big TRD, it doesn't work. Like it literally stops catching fish nearly as well if one thing's out. Like if it's a heavy hook, all of a sudden, I mean, you'll catch fish on it, but it's not like it normally is, you know. And it's so specific to the setup, you know, like having the 17-pound line. A lot of that isn't to get horsed up and into stuff. It's because that line is stiffer. So when that bait floats up, it gets really vertical and it allows the bait to get some separation from the weight. Where if you use softer line, because the line drags around the weight, it will lift up, but you won't get that separation. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's those little tiny details. I feel like are make and break these finesse techniques. Because talking to both you guys, you know, when I talk to other guys, that's what they say. They say, oh, you know, finesse, you know, yeah, I'll do 6-pound on a Ned rig. Okay. I mean, that's, yeah, I mean, that you, it's totally finesse, but there's like, I love the details, man. I mean, I'm a detail guy and just here, I'm just engrossing in this right now too much, I think.
So when, When do y'all go? When do you decide I'm going finesse? I'm going to let that Ned Rig sit for a long time. Is it you practice sucked, and you know, like, you know, it's going to be tough. Is it, you know, the conditions are tough, you know, or is it throughout the day you're looking for a bite?
Or so, do you just start finesse?
Yeah, just go so, finesse, get it. And so, yeah, I mean, are you just going finesse and like, I want to get a limit first?
So for me, that's what I start finesse. I don't get time really to pre-fish anymore. I've got two kids and a full-time job. So I just do all my pre-fishing online. And then whenever I get there, you know, I start finesse. A lot of times I'll start when it's dark in the morning with a black Ned Rig, and I'll just run it as slow as I can around any kind of rock, any kind of dogs until I get my five. And then if I'm getting good bites on that Ned, I'll continue. I'll throw it all day if I have to. It just constantly gets me five fish no matter what. I'm confident in it, you know.
Yeah.
That's the main reason why I throw it.
Confidence is such a big thing, man. It's
Yeah.
Bennett, how about you, man? I mean, do you start finesse or do you kind of fall back to it?
So, maybe you're only finesse.
No, not even close. So I will try to find anything else going that's not finesse if I can. It's like I'll go to finesse by necessity if I need a limit, or if I know the fish are setting up a certain way or on a certain piece of structure, then I'll go to finesse. Because if I know, like, I'd rather throw like a whopper plopper. I mean, this, you know, more spring summer deal, but like I'd rather throw a whopper plopper and beat the banks in the morning or something like that than I would just pitching a finesse Nika rig or something around. So I like covering water, but if I can't catch fish covering water and it's just not happening, I think they're on structure, then I'll start breaking down different types of structure. I'll break down trees with different baits. And once I find out that they're sitting, say they're off the end of a laydown, or say they're on like the back corners of the docks or under the walkway, that's whenever I'll start throwing the finesse rig, when I have a really good idea of where they're setting up. And so I can hit those areas that I know that they're supposed to be setting up on and that they've been setting up on. And I've got a lot more confidence fishing those areas a lot slower. And then those are the areas I'll pick apart and I go finesse whenever I start figuring out kind of where they're setting up.
But it's not your first thing. Your first thing is to beat the banks with something.
It's to beat the banks or go out deep, find them schooling or something like that. I'll go to finesse like by necessity. And it's bailed me out of a lot of tournaments. Like it's caught my limits. It's caught some big fish for me. And it, I mean, it's got its place just like everything else.
So you know, we all talk about finesse. We've been talking about finesse and we've been talking about how slow we all fish it, right? I mean, a lot. What about power finesse fishing? Do you guys do anything like that? Like, you know, swim baits, you know, soft plastic swim baits and using those and burning them or something like along those lines, or a fluke or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes in the mornings, have y'all ever thrown Ned Mickey? It's like a Ned rig with, if you can see it, let's see. It's just a Ned head with a minnows on it.
Oh yeah.
So I just use this like a sonar minnow. I just throw it up against like a rocky point and I just let it sink to the bottom and then reel up, you know, it depends on where they're at in the water column. And then I'll just, you know, just work it while I'm reeling it back. So, I mean, that's pretty fast for me. I throw that as a moving bait. I throw a few other things, you know. I'll throw a little bitty Damiki swim bait as well on a spin head.
It's like a 3-inch, 2-inch?
I think it's 2 3/4, I think.
Okay.
So I'll throw that in the morning as well. But other than that, I'm just not a big moving bait kind of guy, really. I will if I have to, but most of the time you don't have to.
Yeah. Bennett, how about you, man?
When you say like, you know, can you ask the question again? Because you said like finesse moving baits or?
Well, yeah, like a power finesse. And what I mean by that is like, So for me, I love, you know, smaller swim baits from 2-inch to like 6-inch, right? And I'll use those for search baits. And that's like something I rely on for my moving baits. And I like flukes too. Like, you know, and I feel like those baits, or at least how I'm fishing, I'm like, when I'm fishing a swim bait, my favorite way to fish it is fast and then kill it, right? And then fast and then kill it type action. You know, I do slow roll it and roll it on the ground, and there's different other ways that I fish it, but my favorite ways is to move them fast. And kind of same way with the fluke. Like I throw that and I'll work it real fast. So something like along those lines, that's just not your ordinary, you know, when people think of finesse, they usually don't think of moving baits, but I personally think it incorporates a lot of moving baits.
Well, you just asked like a person that lives on like Hartwell Herring Lake if he throws a fluke. And the answer is most certainly yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love it. Two at a time.
I have, but I don't ever do as well on it. Like, I know some people that like it, and I don't know why I can never get the bites on it. Like, and I mean, I've tried rigging a bunch of different ways that, like, I can get them to dart beautifully, and I mean, they look so sexy under the water. I mean, but the fish don't think so. So, but I have found that I miss a lot of fish on a fluke. And while we're talking about tackle, I might as well, you know, spill some more beans. Okay. Yeah. But like a lot of people will rig it with like an extra wide gap hook or something. And with them spots that swat at it so much, they'll very rarely actually get it all the way in their mouth, and they'll just swat at it. Those fish like to just to swat to kill stuff, especially on those herring fish. And so if you can, like, I'll get a hook, or like I'll tie my line to like a wacky rig hook, and I'll bring it through the nose, and then I'll cut off that wacky rig hook, and I'll tie on a treble hook, and I'll put some lead tape or lead wire on that hook, and then I'll kind of belly hook it right there. So I've just got one treble hook on it with, it's like a line through, and that weight keeps it down further, and it'll still, and you can kind of change with like the angle you put your line through the nose, whether you go through the bottom or through the top, how deep it goes or how on the surface it stays. You can walk it on the surface, or you can weight it down, go through a different angle on the nose and get it to actually dive deeper as you work it. But you also lose a lot less fish that way. So
you're line throughing it.
Yep.
And then using the lead wire to give you a little bit of weight.
A little more. It kind of kills it a little bit. Yeah.
And how far back are you putting the treble hook?
I try and stay. That's something I play with a lot. Like, it'll mess with the action the more towards the head and towards the tail you give it. I usually just start in the middle, and then if that kind of work a little bit next to the kayak, and I'll move it towards the head, work it towards the kayak, move it towards the tail, work it towards the kayak, and kind of see which way it's kind of wanting to move, and I'll just play with it for a little bit. I mean, it only takes like 2 minutes, but once you get it dialed in, you can really go to town on them.
Are you going like a micro treble hook or a bigger treble hook?
It's like a number six. It's not quite micro, because you still need those 2 points to stick out of the belly with that one that's through the stuck in the flute. So I usually go with like a number six or number five treble hook.
Are you bringing that hook up through the top or just into the body of
the
float?
It's not quite. Very rarely will I go all the way through the top. It's usually kind of like there's not much skin to play with there on top of a fluke, like a Zoom Super fluke. So I'm trying to keep that hook kind of just in the middle of that top skin. And I want those points pointed down more than I do wanted them level with the bait. Like, the more pointed down, the more I seem to hook up with some of those swatting spotted bass and stuff.
Oh, so you're kind of hooking it
and kind of pointing it down a little bit.
Whoa. Yeah. So, I love it. I love that right there. I just, that little detail I love so much, man. I love that. Oh,
are you usually for a fluke on Hartwell, like, are you usually throwing that up on points and bringing it out? Or are you throwing it in open water or just anywhere?
So if they're, I'll definitely throw it on points, but it's gotta be like, I don't like throwing it. Like, sometimes in the spring and summer, you'll get those slick mornings that are just glass calm mornings. And I don't really like throwing it when it's glass calm. Like, it's gotta have a little bit of chop on it, and I'll throw it on the point, a little bit of chop kind of blown onto the points. Otherwise you can throw some, like, some wacky rigs and stuff on them and catch some of those fish or some big topwaters. but I'll also throw it at those schooling fish that'll, for whatever reason, will chase bait in 50, 60, 70 foot of water, like way off in the middle of nowhere. You'll just look across the lake, it'll be glass column, they'll come up blowing up.
Oh, and that's awesome.
I'll book it over there and throw it kind of 2 foot past them, trying to work it as fast as I can, and they'll come out of the water for it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I'm not rigging a fluke same way you are, but I don't throw a fluke very often because I feel like it's such, the hookup ratio has been so bad for me. Like in that situation, if it's more open water, I'd definitely be throwing a jerk bait before I would a fluke, but I know how, you know, powerful a fluke is. I had a partner in college and whenever we fished, he would fish a fluke all the time. So it is a technique I never really got into because I didn't want both of us to be doing the same thing, you know?
Yep. I think some people also don't realize just how far you can get a fluke to glide out. Like if you do like instead of doing the real quick rod twitches, like a lot of people will do, and like you can get it to go real fast tight, you know, but if you let it sink a little bit and you do short rod sweeps instead of those fast twitches, you can actually get those flukes to shoot out a foot and a half or so. And you can draw a lot more fish in that way too. I think a lot of people mess up with that is they'll just go crazy with the tip as well. And when those fish aren't super active, they want it shooting out a little bit more than that.
And so, man, I'm really interested. How much weight are you putting on there, you think? Because you're putting that lead line on there. You don't really know, or is it just a...
It's typically not much, and it depends which treble hook I use. Like, I'll use... Owner makes, it's a 10 hook. It might be an ST46, but it's one of the silver hooks. And it doesn't take much lead wire, but I like using a smaller hook that's less noticeable, but I still sometimes need that extra weight. Like I'll sometimes even use like a 1 gram lead tape, like a 1 gram lead strip, and put around the shank of the hook or around the fishing line itself if I want the weight further up. It's like I found that flukes out of the pack can be super inconsistent. Like the tails can be warped and stuff like that. And a lot of them, like there's no set weighting or no set way of rigging it that works for all flukes. They're all kind of their own deal. They're all a little different. They all need just that extra magic touch.
Wow, man. I think I'm about to rig up my flukes a little differently. I got to say, you know, I've done some line through stuff for small swim baits, but not for the fluke, man. And everything you just said about Hartwell is why I didn't throw one, because when I would go down there for practice, I throw a fluke, man. And they, like you just said, they would swat at it. And I would get so upset. I'd be like, I'm not catching them. And then I just tied on a traditional hard-sided jerkbait, and I'd catch them, you know. That man, you just, like, opened my eyes, my mind. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
I had seen something before where it was, like, Zona had talked about the rivet, and I never did any of that, though.
Well, that rivet deal kind of takes some of the need for that lead tape away. You already put some of that weight in the head with a rivet, and if you can use...
But the problem with that rivet is that weight then is all the way in the up at the tip of your head. You don't. It really makes a nosedive when you kill it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I don't do it. I mean, it takes away the need for it, but you can kind of you can customize it a bit more with lead wire and lead tape.
You go through a few more flukes though, don't you?
You might get 4 fish on a fluke, and then you got to restart the process.
Yeah.
So, but same with that's why I mean, like a jerk bait works fine, but sometimes especially when it's windy, it'll work. But I found that I have a little bit more success on that fluke when it's not real windy, but there's still a little bit of chop in the water, just a little bit of ripple, and it's not glass calm. So,
man, I love that.
Yeah.
Bennett, I got to say, for a young guy, just hearing you talk is just awesome, man. I just love it, dude. Keep it up, man. You are detail oriented. It sounds like you have 30 years under your belt fishing, man. You really do. Like the stuff you're picking up on has taken me a long time to kind of work through the process, and you've done it. That's awesome, man. I love it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah.
So what's your guys like So we talked about moving baits. We've talked about your favorite, just overall, finesse baits. What's your guys' take on the hover rig? Have you guys seen it? Because it's very finessey, and it seems to be like all the rage right now.
Yeah, I tried it. Yeah, and I like it. Yeah, I just got some in probably 3 weeks ago. So I just been toying with it. It's very, you got to pick the right bait for it, really.
Yeah.
Or it just doesn't look right in the water. You got to rig it perfect. To be honest with you, it's kind of a pain.
It is.
It is. Yeah.
Getting that head back in it. Yeah.
Yeah. You ruin baits really, really fast. And the baits that I'm using for that, they're not cheap. So I don't know if I'll be using it too much.
Jeez. Have you used it, Bennett?
Yeah, so I tried it. Jeez, it would have been over a year ago, like when it first came out, like before there was any kind of hook, before there was anything like that. And like I've since tried some of the hooks, but it works okay with just like the screw-in weight and the light wire jig hook that you rig in it. And I found that I much prefer a Dameki rig. Just because it's so much more simple, you screw it up a lot less, and there's not a big difference. But I have found that there are times when you need when they will eat that rig a lot better than they will a Dameki rig, because you can get it to glide more and with a lighter weight and stuff than you can a Dameki rig.
Yeah, the thing I thought was so interesting about it was the ability to keep. It's so weight dependent, and you have to fish it shallow. This is not a deep water bait, but man, once you got the weight dialed in, I found that it was so easy to keep it at a certain water column, like through the whole cast. Like, you cast it out. Let's say I want to keep it at 3 feet from the bottom, man. If you got that weight dialed in, that rig, man, that thing would just sit down there forever. And you could, you can't cast it super far because it's a super light bait, but I found it pretty interesting for that type of stuff, but you're right. It is a pain to set up. It takes a minute to set it up. You got, everything about it. You catch one fish and it's done, at least for me.
Yeah, it's done.
I got a few packs. I haven't thrown that enough to catch anything on it, but I haven't caught anything on them. I'm a sucker. If something new, look at me with the gee crack and the new core tackle. Yeah, if there's something new, I'm probably going to buy it. Sits in my garage.
Yeah.
I was out in my garage going through my stuff, getting ready for Norman a little bit, and I was just like, man, I was pulling up just Ziploc bags full of soft plastics that I don't use. I see him at a show and I'm like, I'm just a sucker. I'm like, oh, look at that color. Yeah. Oh, look at that worm. It's flat and then it's fat and then it's flat again, or just something, just something different. And I'm just immediately on it. So, do you guys have like a bait that's like really different? Kind of like the G-Crack Dice. Something that other people, maybe it's JDM, maybe your buddy makes it, that's a finesse bait?
Yeah, I have one sitting here. Y'all might have heard of it. You for sure heard of the company. It's Molex or Molex. Mm-hmm. And they make it's called a nano jig. And it's just I'm talking tiny jig. And use a Ned rig as a trailer.
Oh.
And it is, it is extremely small, and I've done really well with this. I just cut the Ned rig just a little bit to make it shorter. And then you have to glue it. You have to glue it on here because there's no keeper on here. So I just super glue it on there. And I've done really well with a, it's like a white and gray nano jig. And then with a smelt Ned rig trailer. And I'll throw it like at bait fish balls, and I'll let it fall. Like if the fish, like at 10 killer, the fish were hitting bait balls and going crazy. And then I would throw it into that bait ball and just let it sink to the bottom. And they would think it was a dead bait fish. And then I would just let it sit there. and they just come grab it and run.
Wow.
I had bought some before, like the Z-Man ones. I didn't know when to throw that versus a Ned rig, and it seemed like with the skirt it made it take longer to get down. So I was like, I'm just going to keep throwing a Ned rig and not throw these. But
yeah,
I was like, Z-Man, you found a place for it.
Yeah, the Z-Man has the shroom head on their jig, and this one's a little different. It looks just like a flipping jig head, so it's a little different. It works more. It's just like a mini flipping jig.
Wow, that's the smallest like flipping jig I've seen.
Yeah,
it's tiny. You know, I mean, straight up. I mean, that's like the smallest one.
Yeah,
and I throw some compact jigs too that are, you know, fairly small, but that's
significant. Yeah. I mean, the big fish will bite it. I've caught a 24 on it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What kind of hook is in there? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. It is.
I'm curious.
It is tiny, 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 tiny.
Because it looks like a super thin wire hook.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but they have several different colors. It has worked really well for me.
Wow. Bennett, how about you, man? You got something like a little off the wall, a little different?
You know he's got something crazy.
Yeah.
I know it. I'm waiting.
So I like old school stuff a lot. People that like things that are like tried and true, but people seem to forget with all the new stuff that comes out. It's more of like a late spring kind of summer deal. And I don't know if it's just a Hartwell thing or if it's just any lake that's got the black floating docks. But when the sun comes up and those fish are pulled up on the docks, I don't know if Kurt, you fished Norman, so you may have seen this if they got black docks where those fish will pull up right up against those black floats. And you can sometimes see them and sometimes you can't. But I'll take like a green pumpkin trick worm with like a number – two, that's, I don't know who makes it. They might be a BKK hook, but they make a super small hook, and I'll kind of throw that. I'll get it to where that trick worm just barely sinks, but I'll skip it up under the dock, and I'll kind of twitch it back on top of the surface. When those fish are pulled up super close to the those black floats, kind of sunning themselves, you can get a lot of those fish to react. That I've seen a lot of wacky rigs and stuff, and sometimes it's that type of wacky rig floating worm type deal that they haven't seen before.
So it's a wacky rig?
It's like a wacky rig, but it's a trick worm, and it doesn't like it sinks super slow. I mean, like,
because it's a floating worm, right? Like
technically, yeah, it's like a floating worm, but it's not with an extra wide gap. It's hooked in the middle with like a wacky hook, a light wire wacky hook. Yeah. And I try and get it to where it'll float, like it'll sink like an inch a second type deal. And you can kind of work it up in the water column up against the floats and stuff.
I was for sure he was going to say banjo minnow.
I was going to say sluggo or something.
I'm not going to lie. I wanted to try a banjo minnow so bad, but I'm not paying no $40 for a banjo minnow kit. If they sell individual, I'd be throwing me some banjo minnows. You already know.
Someone was telling me those were like Elastec type material, like some type of silicone. Is that true?
They feel different. I don't know if they're elastic, but they do feel different.
I actually had some in my dad's old tackle box somewhere. I don't know where they come to. But they will catch fish. I'm certain of it. And I genuinely want some. But if they would sell them separately, I can guarantee you I'd have a box full. Just for the fun of it. You know how badly I want to show up to weigh in and go up on stage and say I caught all my fish on a banjo minnow?
Yeah.
Dude, the bragging rights that come with that would be beautiful.
That'd be legendary, man.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
but Kurt, how about you? You got some kind of secret bait?
You know, I honestly don't. I don't have a secret bait or anything I fish different other than, you know, the big TRD and how I rig it up. So specifically,
The
Texas rig. I got a couple other setups like that I do with certain Z-Man products because they're super extra buoyant. Mm-hmm. To get them to float even more. But it's all like on the rigging for me, you know, it's less on like the bait and more on how I rig it to get it to do something different. But I mean, not as specific as you guys. I mean, you guys are throwing like a micro jig, the wacky rig trick worm. I have never thought about wacky rigging a trick worm, you know, stuff like that is is really intriguing to me because I have obviously never thought of it. Dan, you got anything, man? You got something?
Yeah, no, a little sneaky. I keep all my stuff pretty simple.
I mean, you know, for me, it's like the G-crack stuff. I really dig on the rib baits. I really like those, and I really like rigging those in different ways, you know, because I'll rig a Bellows Minnow as a jig trailer, as a chatterbait trailer. I'll Texas rig them, you know. I'll just nose hook them sometimes with a wacky rig hook and just throw them out and let them just kind of, where there's a little bit of current, and let them kind of, the current kind of pull them back and forth and have it fall real slow. This is the most it's painful fishing though, right? I mean, yeah. That type of stuff is like super painful fishing, man.
Like I have tons of stuff in the garage that I bought that I'll hook up and look at it. And I even, you know, put some water in the tub or the sink and try, you know, see what it does. And it just doesn't ever make it to the boat. So it just sits in the garage. Just have tons of soft plastics and things that, just in here, OSP and all the crazy stuff, but it just doesn't make it to the kayak.
I tell you, I did try the hover rig out on the river for some white bass and some hybrids and stuff, and it killed the super small white bass. I caught like 100 dinks. They were like, I mean, the big ones just ignored it. As soon as I tied on a 3-inch swim bait, I started catching big fish. I'm throwing that little tiny hover rig. And I mean, it was killing it. It was like every cast I'd catch a fish, but they were just like dinks on it, you know.
What kind of hook are you throwing with that, with your TRD, with your big one?
So I personally use the Mustad light wire hook, and they call it, it's by KBD, it's their grip pin. I think they call it their ultra fine wire, I think is the name of it. And it has to be the ultra fine wire one. And what's interesting is that's the only, that's like one of two wide gap fine wire hooks that I'll use. The rest are garbage that are on the market because they're not strong enough, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what they're doing to it. It's something about their special tempering process that they do that keeps it super strong. You know, I actually had I was working with a jig maker one time, and he had one of those tensiometer things where you could pull stuff and then it would record. It would hold the how much strength it took to bend it, basically. And it was that hook and then one owner hook were the only two wide gap fine wire hooks that would they were twice as strong as all the other light wire hooks out there.
Oh wow.
You know, the difference was just so big. They were almost as strong as their regular full body hook, you know. So those are the only two I'll use. You know,
well, you know, I ask because I've tried to put Z-Man products on my Carolina rig and because, you know, I want it to come up in the water column, but they just seem to slip down the hook every single time.
Dude, get yourself some of those grip pins. They have a little right at where there's a little nub that sticks out right where the hook comes out of the plastic. So it holds that plastic on there. It's the only hook I find that holds the Z-Man plastic really good like that.
Okay.
And it's like, because the problem you said it used to drive me nuts.
It drives me insane, man. That's the reason why I can't use it. It's just constantly fixing the bait.
And that Z-Man, because it's a TPE polymer, its buoyancy is way better than anything made out of Plastisol. It blows everything out of the water, Plastisol. When you see the buoyancy on it, it's like a 0.7 or a 0.6, you know. So it's way lighter than water. It's way lighter than water. And that's what makes the difference, because I've been playing with making my own baits to get the exact colors I wanted. And I got the most floating plastic I could find, and it still doesn't match the Z-Man stuff. Z-Man stuff. I put it in there with the same hooks on and a bucket of water, and one's like this, and the other one's sitting straight up.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just such a difference.
I used to have to – I would use the Z-Man bang stick. I was using that for an Eco. I wanted to put it on my shaky heads, too, and I used spring lock. I used to carry a lighter to get it hot, and then – I could go on the spring lock a little bit better with the lighter, like getting it really hot. that would, I mean, burn you too, but I did that. Yeah, that's a real pain. I went to a different one. I just got tired of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. To get my some baits to float. So I used to take that Jean LaRue biffle bug and I would put a earplug inside of it. Yeah. And then I would hook it and then it would float in the water column. Yeah.
I used to do that with tubes. Like, you know, you put an earplug down a tube.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can count on one hand how many fish I caught with that. But I thought it was slick, you know.
Yeah.
It was a Randall Tharp deal. Like, use it in spawn, put the gambler tube and put an earplug in there. And I might have caught like three fish doing it.
You know, I think there's a time and a place for that, though. I think there really is to get those baits to get them off the bottom just a little bit, like a Carolina rig, because that's essentially what I'm doing with almost all my Texas rig stuff that's not pegged weights. Is I'm trying to get just a little separation. You know what I mean? Try to get that bait just off the bottom, just a tiny bit. It's like a short.
So you're not pegging any of it.
No, I peg some stuff. It depends what I'm doing, but like the big TRD, no, never peg it ever.
Hmm. I won't. You ever add a glass bead behind it, behind the weight?
I have not, but I've thought about it because it's.
So if you're in dirty water, I do that.
Make a little bit of noise.
Yep.
Now you're putting that in between the hook, right, and the weight.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now you guys want to talk about sound for a second, maybe? Because I find that really interesting that you just brought that up, because I haven't played around with making my baits noisier, like putting a rattle in anything. I haven't messed with any of that stuff. You guys, you want to kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so I throw a very light Texas rig with, again, a 4-inch Cinco. I throw it with a 3-aught hook. And then I do peg it, and I throw 1/16 tungsten. Wow. And I put a glass bead behind it. And what I like to do is in the summer, I'll find grass patches that have little bitty hole in the grass. And I'll flip that 1/16 on top of the grass behind the hole. And it's so light, I can just drag it to inside the hole, and it'll fall really slow because it's 1/16. Whenever it gets down to the bottom, I'll just sit there and just pop the tip of my rod, and it'll just hit that tungsten will hit that glass BB, and it'll usually bring fish out from the grass and they'll come hit it.
Really, man.
And I can do that. I do that with as well. I throw the trick worm on there as well.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that. Bennett, you got anything with sound?
Not much. Like, I've played with some glass rattles and beads before, but, like, every time, like, while night fishing, sometimes I'll put some glass rattles and stuff, but not, like, most every time I would use a glass rattle for most applications around me, I'm better off using, like, a spinner bait or, like, some kind of moving bait.
That's so clacking and making its own noise.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a preference deal. I'm a lot less finessey in that sense as Jason. Because, like, I'll go to finesse if I have to, but if I can get something else to work, I'll usually try and make that something else work.
But, you know, I fish finesse, but I do not reel the fish in finesse, and it has cost me dearly. I have a terrible time about horsing them in, man. I have lost so many good fish. It's just I don't have the patience for it. Which is crazy because I can sit there and I just once they hook up, I want them in. I want to measure them and I want to get them out of the boat. It's tough.
Yeah.
And I also only use bait casters for everything. Really? I didn't even know BFS was a thing. I was doing BFS before I had even heard of that. And I use one of my main ones is just an SLX. I just dial it in. And that's what I throw my Ned rigs with. I have nice reels on those, and then the cheapest rod you can buy.
The cheapest rod you can buy.
The cherry rod, right? Isn't that what you were saying?
This combo right here has won me so much. It's just an SLX with a Berkeley cherry wood. There's something about it. It's just a medium. It's a 7-foot medium. And it's so cheap and so crappy, but I can feel everything on it. And it throws that Ned rig way out there. And I guess it's just because I feel more comfortable with that than anything else. I've used really high end rods, and I'll take them off and throw that cherry wood back on. I can't get over the cherry wood. And then my really lightweight Texas rig is on a helium, and I really like that one.
Kessler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Only baitcasters.
Only baitcasters. Yep.
Very interesting, man. I'm a baitcaster. I'd prefer a lot of times to throw a baitcaster, but you know, once I get below 1/8 of an ounce, I pretty much switch over.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, really, I've never had an issue. I just mess with them all the time with the breaks and all that. And then I just got a BFS. I think it was the Shimano BFS reel. And I don't like it as much as my regular just baitcasters. It's the spool is so large that, I mean, you know, it don't take much line to fill it. And it feels like I'm reeling too fast. Feels like I'm working the bait too fast for what I do. And so I don't know what I'm going to do with that thing now.
Do you know what the speed of your reels are, the ones you do like to use?
Yeah. So that SLX, it is an 8.2. Yeah.
Okay. So you're using a fast reel. It's not a slow reel.
Is it the MGL at least?
I think so. Let's see. Nope. It's the XG.
Well, not even the MGL. There you go.
Nope.
BFS before BFS. I like it.
Yeah. Before that, it was Revo X.
Revo X, man. Those used to be the hot ticket.
Damn. Man, I put a lot of cast on a Revo X. A lot.
All right. Well, it's been over an hour. We appreciate y'all being on. Want to give you a chance to shout out anybody that makes fishing easier for you and where people can find you online if you'd like them to do that. Bennett, we'll start with you, man.
Yeah. Old Town, for sure. I mean, I've had like a 3-year used kayak that I haven't done a single thing to the drive, and I've floated countless river trips, dragged it on concrete to get to boat ramps, and things are freaking workhorse. So I want to shout out Old Town, Rapala, and yeah, just all the friends, family back home. You know, that's it. Thank y'all for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Jason, how about you?
Yeah. The Oklahoma Kayak Anglers, my friends, family. Thanks for having us. It's been a blast, guys, talking about fishing.
And Berkeley Cherry Woods.
I need a sponsor. Berkeley Cherry Woods.
Cherry Woods. Berkeley, if you're watching.
Be the only one.
All right. Well, we appreciate y'all, and we appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll see y'all again next week. Thanks,
guys.
Thank y'all.